101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER 101, where now we're going to talk about our medical news of the week. In New York City, a judge struck down Mayor Michael Bloomberg's proposed ban on big sugary drinks. And we are lucky enough to have an expert, Dr. Dennis Wissing, a professor of cardiopulmonary science and medicine and associate dean for academic affairs for the School of Allied Health Professionals at Louisiana State University Health Science Center. And he has taught nutritional-related courses since 1988 and is involved in a lot of research related to childhood obesity. So thank you so much for being here, Dr. Wissing. We really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
So I'd like to ask you, you know, Mayor Bloomberg, you know, everyone makes jokes. Pretty soon you're not going to be able to even do anything in your own apartment in New York City. But he did propose a ban on, I believe, 16 ounces and above of sugary soda drinks, but it included coffee drinks, those big frappuccinos and everything like that. And it was struck down by a judge who said, and when you read some of the ruling, I mean, it made sense. It was kind of, you know, where do you draw the line and, you know, how do you stop it? And what about the people that are going to grocery stores? This is mostly restaurants. And so I understand from a legal standpoint that it was kind of crazy, and that's why they ended up doing it, striking it down. He says he's going to appeal. But my question is, we hear that there's an addiction to sugary drinks, you know, so was he really trying to save us from ourselves? I mean, obesity's rampant today. What did you think about that?
Well, first of all, I applaud his effort to even bring up the dialogue about the epidemic, because we're a fat country, and that's the bottom line. And, you know, sugary drinks are simply wasted calories. And, you know, I grew up in the 60s where a drink was 8 and 10 ounces. Now they're 24 and 28. But what he's doing, I think, is Band-Aid, because eating behaviors are so complex. I deal with two types of patients. I deal with the obese patient trying to lose weight, and the second is smoking cessation. And both behaviors are so complex, you just can't do one little answer. One little approach to that is not the panacea to get them off cigarettes or lose weight. When people eat, there's so many reasons why they eat what they do. Environment, cues in the environment, taste, preferences, habit. And having them not drink a large drink is not going to do, in my opinion, will not address the issue. I don't think they're going to lose the calories at all. Sugar isn't an addictive product. Neither is caffeine, like most people think.
Oh, it really isn't. So
no, it's not. Caffeine and sugar is not an addictive. But what happens, you know, is your brain gets involved here and likes the sugar. But once the sugar enters the bloodstream, you know, it enjoys that, obviously.
Well, I had heard that the, you know, when they do the PET scans and the functional scans, the same places that light up with dopamine for drugs, alcohol, these places also light up with, you know, when people eat sugary foods or drink, you know, it consume sugar. So, but it doesn't create a psychological addiction, at least, if it's not.
Yeah, it's probably. It's like carbohydrates. I think there really is some addiction to gluten in some brains. I think you see the same thing. There's probably some degree of pseudo-addiction there, but I think it's a matter of habit, preference, and this psychological thing that I've got to have that, my caffeine. I work with people that drink 7 and 8, 20-ounce bottles of Coke a day.
Oh my God.
You couldn't break them of that habit if you wanted to, because they believe that's what they need to do. So it's a belief system, it's a habit, but the bottom line is just a bunch of wasted calories, and not to mention your kidney has to filter all that through. And then you talk about diet drinks as an alternative, and they have problems. First of all, the artificial sweeteners have come up in question in the literature lately. But more importantly, when you have a diet drink, if you drink now a lot of them, I'm not talking about one or two, a couple of things happen. When your brain senses you're taking in something sweet, it's waiting for a sugar rise in the blood, which doesn't happen, so your craving for that Diet Coke increases. Plus, your brain also doesn't sense a fullness from an artificial sweetener, so you don't feel full, so you drink more of the Diet Coke and more food. That's the catch here. The Diet Coke actually stimulates your primary carbohydrate desire, so you'll actually eat more food. And then the third principle here is most people on diet drinks think, well, I can spurge on my hamburger or my fries because I'm eating a drink and a diet beverage. So excessive use of Diet Coke, diet beverages actually increases obesity rates. And not to mention, sugary drinks are just simply calories you don't need. Unless you burn them off, you're going to gain weight.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, yeah, you do see these obese people drinking a lot of diet soda, and it does. It sort of tricks you. But I was recently, there's also been research that sugar levels can also, through the liver, promote, I mean, maybe Atkins wasn't so far off, because it can promote some of the bad cholesterol, almost as bad as eating high-fat foods. Is that true?
Well, that's a little more complex. When you take in sugar, you don't get quite the blood sugar spike you do with carbs, because part of the sugar molecule is sucrose, and that has to be metabolized by the liver. So you don't get quite the spike you do in a carb. I'm not aware of that link between sugar and cholesterol and fats. Wouldn't be surprised, but it may be the sugar stimulates additional intake of fats and cholesterol. I'm not sure.
I mean, it was interesting. There was a study out of UC Davis where they gave healthy young volunteers the high fructose corn syrup, and that's a whole nother discussion. We'll have to have you on for a whole show for that.
Yeah.
But they saw that some of the markers or the precursor markers that you would see had actually gone up after 2 weeks of consuming a lot of that basically were things that were related to the bad cholesterol and lowering of some of the good cholesterol. So, you know, I thought that was interesting. And, you know, it was funny, poor Dr. Atkins, may he rest in peace.
Well, he might. I'm not supportive of fad diets, but I think what Atkins did is talked about keeping your blood sugar level throughout the day. And drinking sugary drinks, what happens if it spikes your blood sugar and then drops and spikes and drops, and it does that, it attracts adipose tissue to your belly and hips. So there's another reason why sugary drinks are not good for you, because the up and down all day long, your blood sugar just stimulates insulin and fat cells, and again, obesity as a result of that, and not to mention, you know, diabetics that are drinking too many Cokes. But the real question is, how do we stop doing it? How do you break that habit or that behavior? Like any other behavior, you've got to find, you know, a reason, a cue or something to stop the behavior and practice that for a period of time. My group, I have 10 people right now I'm working with. They're all very obese. And it's taken us 4 weeks to get them off sugary drinks, onto water. And that's been a tremendous battle to get most of them on just water, and stay away from fruit juices because that's high in sugar. But it's a real struggle. It's not a matter of what the mayor wants to do. It's just that's not how we change behavior.
Right. I totally agree. It's I agree with you, Dr. Wissing, and I want to thank you for being on, and we'll have to maybe dedicate a whole show to this because it is such a big problem. But it's important. You know, there's only so much you can regulate in life, like with healthcare, and personal responsibility has to come in and be a part of it too. Well, thanks again, my guest, Dr. Wissing.